And now to Dan for some gripping commentary. Getting over the sick?
Yeah, do I sound rough?
Little. Is it strep throat or just what?
Like a head cold that turned into about a dozen things.
Yeah.
It's been basically, I've been some form of sick since Christmas. It's been kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's awful.
But I feel like today I've maybe crossed over onto the, like, my voice sounds kind of cool as opposed to sounding gross.
Gotcha.
But it depends on how much of that nasalness is outside of my voice. It's hard to tell from inside my own head.
Right.
But I'll have to listen to it the whole time I edit this, so, you know. All right, well, are you ready to get started?
Yeah, I'm ready. We haven't recorded in a couple weeks, so this is a new episode, and I don't even know what we have on the list here. I think one thing I had recommended, but I think the rest of this stuff today is a lot of Charlie topics.
Yeah, so this should be kind of like a standard issue A-Town episode in between two specials. So we can kick off with some follow-up, which the first one's not really follow-up, but I just want to say those list episodes, as much crap as I gave you last year when you recommended it, I have deeply enjoyed them both times, and I've come away from both of them, especially during the edit.
Yeah.
As I'm listening, I'll like take the things that you're recommending me in the episode, and then I'll actually look them up.
Right.
And I've gotten all sorts of stuff from that, so whether or not other people actually enjoy it, I say we keep doing those as long as we're still going, because I get a lot out of them.
It's kind of like my version of Dingle Ireland.
You're trying to say that our list episodes are as good as the A-Town travel, A-Town Globetrotters?
Yeah, list town Globetrotters.
Dude, somebody left a comment somewhere and started calling it that.
And that's awesome.
Oh, no, it was a Goodreads. Somebody left a Goodreads review on one of the books that we recommended, and they said,
oh,
I heard you guys mention it on the list town Globetrotters, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe this is happening.
That's awesome. So we've reached Goodreads now. We've permeated that market.
Yeah, exactly. A single review of a person that
right.
we know.
Yeah, exactly.
We also got a nice little comment on the Reddit.
Yeah.
It was on the last episode, but it wasn't really specific to the last episode. Did you see this? Did I send it to you? I don't remember.
Yeah, I saw it.
Do you check the Reddit?
No.
It's pretty much like you look at it whenever I send you screenshots of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I still think it's my favorite place to get feedback from people, but obviously anywhere.
Yeah, it's great. I just don't check it.
Anywhere is welcome. Anyway, so we got a nice little note from a person whose username is Obey the Gods, which maybe makes a little sense because this person is from the Netherlands.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because they are a god.
Yeah, yeah. This is God. Yeah, they signed it. So
we're going to do some weird stuff here because he told us to do some things, and we must obey him.
They signed it at the end, T-E-U-N. Do you know how to pronounce that?
No.
I assume it's like a Dutch thing. Teen?
I think it'd be a hate crime if I tried. Not going to.
But no, this is a person from the Netherlands. Just wanted to say that they liked it. And because they said nice things about us and they said they're from the Netherlands, I definitely want to give them a shout out. And I think they asked if they're the first person from the Netherlands that that's listened.
I don't think
we've ever heard from anybody. But according to our stats, there are some people out there that do listen. But this is the first time we've heard from them, which is kind of surprising because I'm pretty sure we've said some definitely factually dubious things about the Netherlands in the past.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. But at the end of this person's comments, they left a little thing that said, Hail William of Orange. Have you heard of William of Orange?
No. Again, like, I'm not comfortable repeating things where I'm unaware of what they are.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm comfortable because this sent me down a little Wikipedia rabbit hole,
which
I found interesting. And just a pre-warning for you, this is about to dovetail into a A-Town Globetrotters, so hold on to your hats.
Okay.
But before we get into that, though, William the Orange, he said in a later comment, because I asked about it, is kind of their Abraham Lincoln. And so that kind of grabbed my interest. And
so he freed the American slaves? I'm confused.
Yes, he freed the American slaves. He led I'm not even going to try and continue that joke because I've got nowhere to go with it. No.
Yeah.
This is a person who, so the Netherlands, or that region at least, was under the ownership of Spain,
mm-hmm.
like way back in the like 1500s, I think. And he was like a monarch person who joined with the Dutch revolt and kind of financed, I think, the revolt. And so mm-hmm. when they then like won that war or whatever and became an independent country, he was the first king of the Netherlands.
Ah, okay.
But the thing that's crazy is he was, Orange was his like house name. And as I'm reading this, it's like, and so that makes him the first person to, or the like inaugural member of the House of Orange, which continues to this day. And I was like, what? That, for one thing, I didn't realize the Netherlands was still like a monarchy. For whatever reason, I don't think of any other countries as having a monarchy. I know that's not true, but
yeah,
it always throws me off whenever a non-British country, I find out, still has a monarchy. But this one is still like under the same house as when it was formed, which seems completely insane to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
But I did ask Tiyun. I'm not going to say this person's name right, and I apologize.
I think it's a divine name you're not supposed to say.
Yeah.
So let's maybe just not.
Yeah, that makes sense. I asked the listener. I asked Obey the Gods. I can say that.
Yeah, there you go.
I asked this person if there was a town from his fatherland. That's what they call it, the Netherlands, right? Isn't that what it stands for? I'm not going to. Yeah, we're. Anyway, so the listener recommended a town called Urk, which I really appreciate because I can pronounce that one, I think, although I'm probably saying that wrong too. So we're gonna take our A-Town Globetrotter airplane. Is that what we're traveling in?
Yeah, yeah. Hop in the airplane, close the doors, buckle up.
For some reason, I'm imagining this as the Indiana Jones airplane, and we're kind of doing the red dotted line over to Urk.
Yeah.
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 And so we're going to go to Urk. Urk, Netherlands? Urk, the Netherlands? I don't know how you're supposed to say that whenever you say it. Probably not in English is probably the answer. Anyway, so Urk is this little town in the Netherlands that used to be an island and is now like attached to the mainland. And this led me down this really weird thing, which the Netherlands, and I think a lot of the Scandinavian countries, like I'm pretty sure Sweden and Finland like do this too. I'm not sure, but they like
mm-hmm.
like mold the land to their willing, basically, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those examples where I don't know if you've seen the Netherlands before, like if you can imagine what the Netherlands looks like.
It's up there. It's one of those three.
Well, but meaning its shape. It sort of has a Michigan kind of like, you know how Michigan has that mitten kind of shape?
Oh, yeah.
So imagine it's like a right hand, you know, where the thumb is stuck out from the other fingers and there's a gap between there.
Right.
And so there's this big part of the North Sea that kind of cuts into the country.
Hmm.
And that's where Urk lives in this like inlet of the North Sea.
Yeah.
And so it used to be an island. And then like in the early 1900s, they connected the two like pieces and they built this gigantic dam. Which, like, I did... Have you ever used, I think it's called True Size Of?
Mm-mm.
It's, like, a mapping thing where you can, like... I'm going to go into a weird tangent here, which we'll probably cut, but I think this stuff is fascinating. So, are you familiar with map projections and how how mapping works?
No, of course not.
Okay, so... the Earth is...
I appreciate you, <All right. laughs> you asking me, though, that there might be a chance.
So... The Earth is a globe, right?
We can debate that later. I've read. I've been given some very good literature.
There's good evidence on both sides. We don't want to. No, okay.
Teach that controversy.
So
anyway,
given the assumption that the Earth is a globe, if you want to fall into the mainstream media, if you will,
yeah.
If you were to unflatten that, it obviously wouldn't be a rectangle, right?
Yeah.
So. There's a whole bunch of, like, we have to do some sort of weird distortions to turn that into a rectangle so we can put it onto maps.
Uh-huh.
And the popular one's called the Mercator projection, but there's, like, a million of them, right?
Yeah.
But the weird thing about these distortions is you're stretching parts of the globe in uneven ways.
Yeah.
So, like, if you think of Greenland on a map, you think of Greenland as being, like, really, really big.
Yeah.
But I don't know what its actual size is, but it's significantly smaller than what it looks like. The main reason it looks so big is because it's towards the like top.
Yeah.
You know, it's really far north. And the Mercator projection is sort of optimized for like the equator and a little above it where like most of civilization actually lives.
Yeah.
And so it's more accurate in those regions. But like as you get towards the poles, it stretches things out a whole bunch. Anyway,
yeah.
None of this is really that important other than there's this cool website called thetruesize.com and you can pull up what looks like Google Maps, but there's a little search box. And so you can search for a country or a state or something, and then it like highlights that country on the map, but then you can drag it over to different parts of the map,
mm-hmm.
and it'll use the same projection in that part of the world like that you dragged it. So you could look up Greenland and you could drag it down over like your state and you could see what Greenland actually looks like compared to your state. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is a very, very long and unnecessary explanation for I did that with the Netherlands to see how big this dam was. And this dam that connects these two parts of the Netherlands is the distance between St. Louis and Arnold.
Oh, wow.
It's literally like a 20-mile dam.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
And they built, they turned like a section of the sea into essentially a lake. And part of that, it also like, what is it, desalinated? It like, it took it from salt water to fresh water.
Yeah.
And it also like, they can control the like sea level apparently and all sorts of crazy insane stuff, which, you know, you can look up if you want. It, the funniest part of this is that dam is called... I'm just going to send this to you because there is literally no way I'm going to pronounce this. And I just want to hear you try to pronounce this because I'm pretty sure that this is just a bureaucrat like mashing their hands on a keyboard.
Oh, of course. I know how to say this.
Uh-huh.
Clearly, it's absolute dish.
Yeah. So the spelling for the listener here is A-F-S. L-U-I-T-D-I-J-K.
Yeah, I nailed it.
There's a lot of consonants mashed together. The first... Yeah. So along this road, or that dam, it's a big road. It's kind of... I mean, it reminds me of the Hoover Dam in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's got like a road over it, but it's crazy long. And they were experimenting with making that like a really fast highway too. I think at one point the speed limit was... like 81 miles an hour. I forgot what the kilometers an hour it actually is, but that's what it equated to.
Yeah.
But the thing about this place that really like caught my interest that was really, really bizarre is there's a whole section in the Wikipedia page on their like folk tales.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one folk tale that I don't understand at all. So I'm going to try and pronounce this one too. It's the Amala Balamamastine. I said that wrong. Or Amal Bamal Stone is like the Englishy way of saying it. It had in parentheses. So
that was our last president, right?
Yeah, I believe that's in lots of angry, politically infused comments at the end of benign articles everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that. Like, the Obamas were really from the Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
That's where his birth certificate's from.
Isn't the Netherlands the place where Trump was saying we should be taking people in from?
Yeah.
Nice places like the Netherlands.
But they can't be president.
That's true.
Right.
Anyways. But no, this is like this folk tale that the Irkish, this is specific to Irk, okay? And they tell this to kids whenever they ask where babies are coming from, which is already weird enough, I guess. But I guess that's sort of common to have a tale. I mean, I don't know that this is really lived on, but that's where the whole stork thing comes from, right?
Yeah.
Is some sort of tale to, like, get your kids to stop asking where babies come from, presumably.
Right.
But in this tale, there actually is storks involved. But it starts out by the Irkish people separating all humans into two groups. So there's... the Vremden, which are strangers, and then there's Irkers, which are people from Irk.
Gotcha.
So strangers are usually born from cabbage, which is interesting. And a stork takes them and brings them to their new parents. And that's the end of the story for strangers. So apparently that's where most people are born from cabbage, which makes cabbage a lot more disgusting, I feel like.
Yeah.
But then Urkers obviously have a much more interesting tale here. So Urkers come from a large stone on the shores of their former island. So one of the weird things about Urk is that there used to be a separate island, but then like the sea levels either rose or the land was eroded away. I'm not sure which. And that island went away.
They had their own version of Atlantis.
Yeah, I guess so, except this is a real thing. That's still like there. It's just not really sticking out of the ground anymore. Are we going to get into more conspiracy theories here?
Yeah.
little Urker babies are, they actually come from Egypt, which is weirdly specific and kind of strange. I'm not sure how this ends up in their folktale, but storks pick up the babies from Egypt and then they bring them to these stones that are on this abandoned island that's like sunk into the sea. Yeah, that part's weird. And then whenever the baby is about to be born, so I'm not sure if they're in eggs or not at this point. I'm not sure the whole deal, or if the stones are their eggs. I'm not really sure. The father has to go to this island and he has to get a key which gives him access to the stone.
Right.
So like the farther you get into this, the more it feels like this is like a video game. And it kind of makes me wonder if there are actually like Dutch video games out there for like acquiring babies in the Urkish way. But maybe that's our $1 million idea here. But anyway, they have to go to this island to find this key. And the key is somewhere under the sea level. So it's like they have to, you know, Harry Potter style swim under the water to go find this like secret key.
You're just like giving the plot to like this. Sorry, guys, this is major spoilers for the new Aquaman movie.
Yeah. Basically, it's exactly the same. Well, I don't remember this next part from Aquaman, because once they get the key, then they have to go back to the mainland and they have to find the obstetrician, which apparently this is actually part of their folklore. Again, weirdly specific. And then they have to row the obstetrician out to the island to the egg, so that the obstetrician can help them open the stone to get the baby. And then once they get there, there's a door that's hidden on the egg, and they have to find the hidden door. And then once they find the hidden door, you have to actually pay a price for the baby. And traditionally, it's one Dutch guilder for a girl, and it's two for boys. So minus one on the equal rights there for the Netherlands folklore.
Yeah, you guys suck.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. Was that what we were doing?
Yeah. No, go with it. actually, it's about to get worse, because you may have noticed that mom has been left out of all this. So traditionally, mom is kept at home in bed with a nail through her foot.
Yeah. You guys didn't do that?
And she stays there to celebrate the coming of the new child. So I guess that's like a weird explanation for why mommy's like in pain or something, and why we have to leave for a little while to go come back with the baby.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. The whole thing is strange, and I'm really curious if this is a real thing or if this is one of those things that Wikipedia's
serious question. Uh-huh. We can cut this if it's too intense of a topic.
No, I'm excited now.
It seems like all cultures, ours included, and I acknowledge that I'm part of this taboo and will probably continue it on as well if I ever have kids. But like, why is that such a weird thing to just explain? Like,
what's that?
Like, I'm not saying grab a 2-year-old and explain where babies come from.
Uh-huh.
But like, I don't understand why it's not an earlier age than what it is in most cultures. Like, because at least just explaining it from a scientific process, why can't that just be like, yep, this is what happens, this is how this happens? And it seems like the only good thing I can come up with is it's a taboo, because we teach them all kinds of other complicated things about biology up until right around junior high age. Well,
I want to be clear. What is it that you're talking about? Like, where babies come from, or like the process by which you get that process going? Because those are different.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is like the whole thing, the whole birds and the bees conversation. I don't understand why. Like the only thing I can think of is it's just a social taboo that you don't explain it to children until they're about 13, 14 years old, somewhere around there. Well, I guess maybe 12 now, because normally they do it around, what is it, sixth grade, something like that, which is basically, like I said, once they're becoming teenagers. But I don't know. I just think it's weird that like they'll explain all this other deep, intense biology information, but that is completely off limits until later. Like, why can't younger, I'm not saying again, I mean, you teach whatever their brain's capacity can.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm not saying like to the nth degree detail, but why can't, you know, younger children have a rudimentary knowledge of that if they're getting it about cells and they're getting it about like all these other different things, even, you know, how flowers pollinate and all these different things. Like we teach them those complex biological concepts in a simple way at a younger age, except for that one thing. And we create these like crazy stories.
Well, which, I mean, okay.
Can be fun, don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's only because, it's awkward. I don't want to talk about sex. And so, like, I don't know. I get it and I don't get it, if that makes sense. Because I'm a part of it, too. Because, like I said, I will probably, if I ever have kids, I will be right in that crowd waiting until they're teenagers as well. So, I get it, but I also feel like it's just because of how we've been socially conditioned.
I mean, I think part of it is relevance, right? Like,
yeah, that's part of it.
So we have two kids, and our oldest, whenever we were pregnant with the youngest, we explained like, oh, the baby's in mommy's belly, and like we explained lots of that other stuff. It wasn't really relevant to explain other parts of that, though. You know what I mean?
That's true. I guess I just mean like,
and so now I do understand what you're saying, though, and I think America is on the like, it's more taboo spectrum than most other places, and so I'd be curious to know,
yeah,
to hear like differences there. But I mean, it's not like, are you suggesting like we need to get out in front of it more?
I guess to a degree. Like I now that I think about it, like it, especially in America, it's a pretty taboo topic just because there's this whole like, I don't even want to say religious, though that's where it comes from, but like kind of a moral dimension to it as well. And there's a large group of people that on both sides of the issue that are religious that either think, yes, it's okay for the schools to teach on this subject, even though there's a moral dimension. And then others that think it's solely for the parents to talk about this one biological issue.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. I don't think I would say that that's more a religious thing. Like, it feels like it's more of a cultural thing that, you know, obviously blends in with the different religions. But
yeah,
I think if you go back through any of the main religions here, like in their past, they've been way more open about these things during different times in history. So
yeah, well, right. That's why I'm saying there are religious people on both sides of it that like, but I'm even talking about if you're talking about getting ahead of the issue, like we're still stuck on even when it's age appropriate, whether to talk about certain things around
sure.
that topic as is, is what
yes.
I'm saying. So
that is definitely a whole issue in its own right. And I'm definitely not qualified to really discuss that.
Right. Well, which is why what I think I'm getting at is I understand why, particularly in our country, it's not that way and isn't going the way that I'm saying anytime soon. But I do also feel like, let's say we had that debate settled, most everybody was okay with it, like teaching about contraceptives and all that sort of
right.
stuff. What I'm saying is why can't rudimentary type introduction to those sorts of topics be taught at a younger age? Because it is something that's a biological process,
but
so they're being
I
taught everything
like,
else except for that one topic.
Did you not have some of that stuff in elementary school? Because I'm almost positive I did.
No. My schooling difference. I went to a Christian school until second grade, and then we were homeschooled till fifth grade.
I imagine that had an impact then, yes.
Right. Well, but then they did that in sixth grade was the
Yeah, that's what I feel like sixth grade
the puberty
was
puberty stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking
right.
of.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's elementary yeah, school, isn't it? For you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm saying like that's right around when kids are turning like 12, 13.
Sure. Fair enough.
But what I'm saying is before that, though, I mean, they're learning about cells, pollination, like all. I mean, again, not in like a deep, complex way, but they understand it. Like they understand all that stuff except for this one topic. And it's simply because it has to do with human sexuality.
I feel, and maybe this is my cultural taboo showing, but I feel like I'm so unqualified on the subject that...
Yeah, no, that's
it's
fine.
Like, I almost don't want my opinion stated. Not that I have one, but you know what I'm saying.
I understand. I'm being a little bit more out there with it, obviously. But really, it's one of those things where it's like, I think a lot of people just don't talk about it because of the subject matter. But I think that's my question is just like, I feel like I don't understand it if we're just teaching them these other biological things, why that's not a part of it. And the only reason I can think of is because it's taboo. Because parents in our country do the stork thing too.
Do they? Is that a real thing that like parents do today?
I don't think so much anymore, but I do think it used to be. Like it made it into our cartoons and stuff from back in the day. And there's different things on different television shows that parents use now, and they always treat it like, you know, the kid says, "Where do babies come from?" And the parents like hatch an egg, and they're like, "Oh, what?" And it's just like,
"Wait, what? what just happened in your brain? I don't understand." They hatch an egg?
I'm just saying they go crazy and act like it's the craziest thing in the world for a kid to ask.
Well,
that question.
Okay, let me explain that one to you. That is. You're in the middle of doing something,
mm-hmm.
and your kid asks deep, like, philosophical or somewhat complicated question that you are just not in the mood.
You die alone and it's pitch black afterwards. Easy answer. Next.
I think that's more the joke in your sitcoms where the kid's asking, "Where do babies come from?" I think that's the easy version of... the kid saying, "Daddy, where do I go when I die?" Or,
"Yeah,
am I gonna see my dog, you know, Fluffers, whenever I die too?" You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Those are those questions that you get asked, like when you're driving, like you're about to drop your kid off at the school bus, and then they ask that, and you're like,
"But don't you think a lot of parents treat the subject awkwardly, even if they're the ones introducing it?"
Sure, I'm just saying because it's like it's sort of a.
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be, I feel like, because it's such a normal, natural thing that everyone does.
Well, I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. The only reason it's treated that way is because there's this socially ingrained taboo. That's what I'm saying. Like, it shouldn't be that way because it's such a natural occurrence. But there's so much to it. Like, there's a moral dimension added by some people, which is fair. That's fine. I get that. But... I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's such a normal thing that I don't understand why it has to be seen that way. And it's the only thing that's like that, it seems.
Yeah.
Like. And you're right. There's other things that maybe outside of biology where it's like...
I know. I keep reaching for something else that's like that.
Yeah.
And the only things I can think of are things like, you know...
Death.
Death yeah. or like, why does, you know... Why does like a family member treat a certain thing that we think is sacred different than us? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can't think of a good example of this, but like...
And for the record, I tried having this exact conversation with someone before and it basically went nowhere because even the people that I was talking to about it that I feel like I know pretty well were just like, "Man, do you want to teach little kids sex?" And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You can't have a serious conversation about this, apparently.
Right.
And so... That's what I'm saying. It always goes that direction, too, if you try to talk about it as well.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's easier to just be like, you know what? Let's just avoid it.
Yeah.
Which is my natural, maybe my like English roots kind of coming out like, let's just sweep everything under the rug and not talk about complicated things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's part of it. It is unique, but it's also a like uniquely personal thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of many other examples of something that's that, like, not public-facing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the closest thing I can think of is, like, praying. But even praying is also a very public thing.
Right. Well,
you know, in most religions or cultures.
This is going to be a weird example because it doesn't even really touch on this particular subject in question. But, like, I kind of think of, like, the book Ender's Game, where... you have very small children that are taught very complex things at a young age and just sort of understand things, even though they're not adults and their brains aren't fully formed enough yet to process the information on an emotional spectrum, if that makes sense.
Right.
And what I'm saying is like, now, obviously, that's a science fiction book, and it's like more about there's a military threat that's why society is framed that way.
And even in that book, doesn't it kind of like screw them up a little bit, you know?
Well, yes and no.
Like they don't get a proper childhood kind of thing.
Well, sure. And it's because, but that's more like the social setting, that like the emphasis on like the militaristic stuff. But what I'm saying is, as far as just learning concepts at that age, it's something where it's like that doesn't necessarily seem to be the problem. I'm not saying that kids should be taught warfare stuff, because maybe something like that could mess them up to, you know, have that sort of mindset
right
at that young of age. But I don't see, I mean, and maybe that's the thing. Maybe there are studies that have been done that I'm completely ignorant of that are like, in this society, we tried teaching kids about sex at 5 years old and they were scarred for life. Okay, that's fine. Then that makes sense why we do it. But I guess what I'm saying is unless there's some sort of like, learning, what is it, the stages of like learning, your wife would probably actually know because she's a teacher and knows a lot of that,
right? The guy that's name starts with an M.
Yeah, there's a couple different ones that we had to learn about, but I went through some of that. But my point being is, it's like if there's a learning curve reason as to why we wait till that, then that would make more sense to me. But I just sort of feel like if it's just a taboo, it just seems this all just started because you told this completely.
See, this is why
backwards, crazy story about where kids come from in the Netherlands. So
this is why these segments are great.
Yeah. Let us know on Reddit. How young should children be taught about the life process?
I mean,
where would you pin
you're
it?
Joking, but like, this is the type of thing that is very different between different cultures. And so there's probably some that are more conservative than America and some that are way less. And so
I'd be interested in the French perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is a thing with us, too, is like I realize it's changing now because different movie companies are becoming more prominent in other countries that are making it here and whatever and our influence elsewhere from Hollywood. But I have heard that there's kind of a cliche that holds true, at least a few decades ago, that American movies are very hyper-violent and don't have as much sexual content as a lot of European movies, whereas it's sort of the opposite there, where they'll have a lot more sexual content and not as much violence.
Right.
And obviously there's both in both industries, but
yeah, but it's more, it's almost like the PG-13 area. Like, I don't know about that rating specifically, but meaning the, like, the sort of adult-oriented but not, like, extreme movies and TV shows in Europe, it'll be, like,
yeah,
nudity is generally fine, but, like, you're not going to get people's heads cut off. In America, it's like,
yeah,
you can have your heads cut off and plenty of blood as long as it's kind of tinted brown, but if there's, you know, a single butt or a single nipple, like, we've gone too far.
Yeah, right.
And European people are always thrown off. Well, they're probably not thrown off because they're getting all Hollywood movies all the time, but
right.
That's a comment that they're making a lot, I've heard.
Yeah. So, let us know.
Yeah, we want to hear...
What do you think?
You know what I'm really curious about is what your country's weird stories that you tell children to get them to leave you alone about the question of where babies come from. Although, I guess, really, if somebody were to ask me that, like, what's the American story? I don't know. I've never heard anybody do that. But I guess the answer would be, like, the stork thing. Storks come. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, good talk.
Yeah, this is good sex talk with Dan. That's the title of
new,
this episode.
New segment. Sex talk with Dan. We can mild it up a little bit, like, say, birds and the bees with Dan.
There you go. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So going along with this weirdness about at least America, maybe everywhere, weirdness with this whole thing is the thing that's running in my head, you know, because I always have like a sort of demon process running in the back of my head, thinking about the edit as we go, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that I've been thinking this whole time is like, I always want to make these episodes okay for somebody to listen to if they have a kid in the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the reasons for beeping a cuss word is like, just, you know, why mess with that? Why make somebody uncomfortable listening in the car? And the whole time I'm like, there's absolutely nothing I can think of about what we're talking about that should remotely be like a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we're literally using the word sex feels like a weird line in my head.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't like put my finger on why or if I really do think that's a problem or not.
Right.
But I can already feel myself struggling with that as I'm editing this.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, maybe you should put a warning before that segment and say, like, we're kind of lightly talk about these things.
Yeah. Or we just leave the title Sex Talk with Dan and that'll scare everybody away.
Yeah. just ruin everybody's childhood.
Yeah.
By the way, Santa Claus and Bruce Willis was that'll ruin the kids' lives. So, yeah, I don't know. I understand that, but yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. It's just a weird taboo that we have around these things, and I feel like even though I'm sort of a part of it, I feel like it shouldn't be that way. But
yeah, I don't really have well thought through thoughts, but it is an interesting thing, and like these conversations always do, this will be chewing on my mind for the next week, so thanks for that.
Yeah.
So that's Eric.
Yeah.
I feel like these conversations always go a totally different direction than I expect.
Yeah.
I definitely did not expect this to go the direction of having the birds and the bees talk with your kid and
yeah.
Where that line should be. But it's always interesting.
That's what we do.
That's what we do here on A-Town FM.
Get off topic.
That's what they come here for. Oh, man, I forgot. I didn't even mention this wonderful little fact about William the Orange.
Yeah.
Can I just read to you how he died?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
No. Not how he died. So one of the reasons that he's compared to Abraham Lincoln is that he's sort of a founding figure of the Netherlands, but also he was assassinated.
By John Wilkes Booth.
Yes, John. Yeah, fun fact. It's kind of crazy. No. So John Wilkes Booth was killed in like a gunfight whenever he was caught, right? So kind of just...
I think, yeah.
Kind of
yeah,
a boring yeah, death, right? This guy, not so much. This guy was caught soon after, actually maybe in the act of assassinating the William of Orange. His name is Gerard something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was caught. And keep in mind, this is the 1500s, something like that. And so he didn't exactly get off easy. And apparently the thing that happened to him was worse than even the normal things that they would do to people. So this is a little sentence from the Wikipedia page. The magistrates decreed that the right hand of Gerard should be burned off with a red-hot iron.
Of course.
That his flesh should be torn from his bones with pincers in 6 different places. That he should be quartered and disemboweled alive. And that his heart should be torn from his chest and flung in his face. And that finally, his head should be cut off.
I feel like the last part wouldn't really mean much.
Yeah. Well, they said
like,
disemboweled
throw it
alive.
In his face.
So... I'm guessing that they...
That'll upset him and throw his heart in his face.
I am offended,
sir. He
won't
like that.
There's something
How
about the sentence
you?
Flung in his face that made it feel like a standard issue medieval horribleness and suddenly felt like a Monty Python skit.
I was just about to say, this feels like a Monty Python. I thought it would be more satisfying.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to care. Maybe another thing that is a little connected, but kind of a hard segue is if we're kind of talking about American phenomenons with how we treat things weirdly. And one big thing that we have every year is the Super Bowl in our country.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
That's American football, whereas everybody else, it's what do they call it? Like, I know it's soccer.
They call it American football.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's American football. There's Canadian football. And then there's...
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah. So we have the Super Bowl this past weekend, and I guess, I mean, we can cut this if it doesn't go anywhere, but I was just
kind of like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, so the Super Bowl is the only thing. Yeah, it's the only thing, the only football game I for sure watch
yeah,
every year
here.
And it's normally because we get together. I think last year I got together with you guys, but normally go to my brother's house, did the same again this year, cooked a bunch of food and stuff, and he made most of the junk food, and it's always really fun. And so did that this year, went to my brother's house. Like, they had some friends over. My sister and her husband were over and everything. And this was just all around the worst Super Bowl I have ever experienced in my life. For one thing, for people that don't know, we're from the St. Louis area, and the Rams used to be our football team, and they went out to L.A., and they were one of the teams in the Super Bowl. And the other, and so everybody here hates that owner that moved the football team out of our city, and so they don't want the Rams to win. And then the Patriots was the other team, which they're there every dang year, and so a lot of people in St. Louis were the only region like sort of conflicted and having a constant debate over who are they supposed to cheer for.
Well, and I want to say too, the Patriots are like a super dynasty, and specifically the current coach and quarterback. And so, like, lots of people across the country hate them just because they're a super dynasty. But they launched their super dynasty. Their first Super Bowl was against the Rams when they were in St. Louis, which was the last time that the St. Louis Rams were, like, a good team. And so I think there's a little bit of personal hurt there as well with St. Louis and the Patriots.
Yeah, and so the game itself was probably one of the most boring games I've ever seen. We started playing card games.
It certainly was.
I think, like, the majority of the game up until, like, the last 10 minutes on the clock was a 3-point game.
Yes.
Right? Am I right?
There was one touchdown the whole game.
Yeah. So it was pretty miserable to watch. And so we started playing, like, card games and stuff. And then I tried to find a bright spot in the commercials, which is, you know, it's hit and miss every year, but normally there's some good stuff. And kind of the only meme that I saw out of everything is there was a lot of depressed robot commercials, which makes me think that everybody bought the same market research. And then, and that's about it. Like, there was an Avengers trailer, which, I mean, cool, but we already had an Avengers trailer before this, so it wasn't like a big reveal, if that makes sense. So it didn't have as much weight.
I'm not a fan of the trailers.
Yeah, I didn't care.
As a commercial thing, because it's a weird environment to watch something where, like, you kind of care about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there was no big surprises either that I can remember. Like, last year there was the whole go watch Cloverfield on Netflix right now after the game thing. And that was cool. But this year, there was nothing. There was no Tide Pod commercials.
See, I thought the commercials were about in line with most years. I think every year people say the commercials this year aren't very good. And I think they're, like, inflating. Like, they're compressing the last, like, 5 years worth of commercials into a single year. Being like, but there wasn't, like, this and this and this. But it's never been, like, it's always been a mixture of, you know, car commercials and then funny commercials.
That's true, but, like, I think the only commercial I can actually remember that was okay was the one with all the football players. And even that one was just okay.
Oh. See, I don't remember a lot of it, to be honest. My wife actually, like, kept track of the ones that she liked, and it was a pretty good list.
Oh, okay.
And, like, maybe when I went through it, I was like, oh, yeah, that one was good. Oh, yeah, that one was good. So
maybe it's just the whole evening had me down from the boring game.
I think it was the fact that, yeah, like, the game was really boring, and I think that hurts a lot of people. A lot of people didn't like the teams, and so that doesn't help.
The halftime show was not loved.
The halftime show is interesting. Actually, the halftime show sort of dovetails into our previous little conversation there with the whole a man can show his nipples in, like, a primetime football game, but a female cannot, and, like, there was an interesting conversation about that.
Yeah. I'm not even going to wait
have,
into
no,
that.
No, no,
no.
I don't want to go into that.
Yeah. I think so. With the Super Bowl halftime thing, though, I will say one thing that I don't understand is, so they used to use sort of classic rock band acts in more recent years to mixed results, like Rolling Stones were probably too old, but then they had, you know, like Prince and I think Michael Jackson did pretty well. And then they've had a handful of pop stars like Katy Perry and stuff like that, that are generally good for a halftime show. And
I think Michael Jackson would fit in the pop star category.
Yeah,
there.
But yeah, you're right. I was just thinking more like Prince. A classic artist.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, so what I don't understand is it seems like a couple or more than once now, they've picked these, like, very, like, bland, like, I get they're kind of pop, but not They're not like energetic bands or anything like that. And Maroon 5 kind of fit into this category. And so they got a lot of hate for this. And honestly, it was pretty boring. I don't even have any strong feelings on Maroon 5, really. But my understanding is now they're sort of like a pop version of Nickelback, where it's just like sort of fun to pile on.
I feel like that meme has popped up in the last couple of days since the Super Bowl. And I sort of feel bad for them.
Yeah, but I will say this, like them or not, I don't think they were right for a Super Bowl show. And to illustrate this...
Who's right for a Super Bowl show? I feel like they're always boring unless they get, like, certain extreme pop stars, but those are not, like, common. You know what I mean? Like, there isn't one of those every year.
But here's my thing. So, I feel the same way. Like, I actually like Coldplay. And they let Coldplay do a Super Bowl halftime show one year.
Right. That was obviously also not a good choice. But like...
Right.
But like, if you think about who in the landscape is in that category, like, it's a tiny group. I mean, like, minuscule.
Yes and no. Because here's my thing. Every time they have one of these more bland artists, or they have an old artist that's not as big, and they want to spice it up with someone younger to throw in as well. Like, they have, like, these guest appearances of, like, rappers or different stuff like that. And literally everyone always says, well, that was the best 30 seconds of that. And they never get those people. And part of it's because I think, isn't the Super Bowl still set up to where you have the halftime people have to pay the NFL to perform the halftime?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I know it was like that for
really?
A time. Like, they actually had to pay for the halftime show in
I
the
guess
Super
that's
Bowl.
Possible.
Yeah, which is why apparently that was allegedly why Taylor Swift never did it for the longest time, because she's, like, so big and was like, I'm not going to pay them to do a halftime show. Anyway, my point being, though, is, like, whatever they're doing, just... do the artists that people seem to be excited about. Like, I remember, I think it probably was the Coldplay or, like, something like that. And I remember, like, Missy Elliott came out. And people, like, lost their minds and were, like, so excited that she came out. And were, like, that was the thing was, this was boring except for...
I thought that was the... Was that the Lady Gaga year?
I don't know.
It wasn't Coldplay. Because the problem with Coldplay is they brought out Beyonce. And,
oh yeah, that's
oh shoot. Who's the guy who? Oh crap, the Uptown Funk guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Crap, what's his name? But I thought
he did his own.
Yeah, that's
one
what
year.
I'm saying. Both of those guys also had their own Super Bowl.
Yeah,
like I think they sort of like have dredged the well of like hyper pop stars that can like do a giant show like that. And also, if what you're saying is true, and they're not like. It's for publicity, then it's also hard to get those people because those people don't need it, especially as football is sort of waning in its popularity.
Well, I'm just saying, if what I'm saying is correct and they charge people to do that spot, they need to stop doing that. Because
I mean, maybe, I don't know. Who cares about the halftime show, though?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm just focusing on that particular part of it. Because...
Has it ever, like, there's been random years where it's like, oh, that was okay. I've never been like, wow, that was so good.
It's a part of it. It's a part of it, I mean, like.
Yes, it is a part of it. That is a true statement. It exists.
Here's the way I look at it. So my favorite time of the year is a four-month period from October to now.
Okay.
And it's because every month has something that we do with family, or at least I do.
Uh-huh.
And this is the end of it. This is like the cool down
the
from
Super
Christmas.
Bowl halftime show is the end of it?
No, not the halftime show, just the Super Bowl in general. And so it's sort of one of those things where it's like on Thanksgiving, I don't particularly love the parade, the Macy's parade, but kind of watch it every year. And so like even though a lot of it is dumb, like I still enjoy watching it. It's a part of
sure.
what I do on Thanksgiving. So it sounds stupid, but it's like that's part of it. There are Super Bowl halftime shows that I remember, and I don't know. And just from a marketing perspective, looking at it, it's like if you are charging these artists to do this, there are so many up and coming pop artists that people love or rap artists that don't ever get to do that sort of stuff.
Well, I mean, who's like what's the goal of the halftime show? You know what I mean? Like,
just to be more energetic than Coldplay and Maroon 5.
The goal is, so they have written down, our goal for the Super Bowl halftime since the 80s is be more energetic than Coldplay.
Maybe that's the problem. There's no streamlined goal.
The goal does not align with what you're wanting. Maybe the goal is to make it, like, exciting for the group of people who don't care about the football. Gosh, that made me sound like a dork. Who don't care about football, but, like, they still watch the Super Bowl. Because the Super Bowl is designed to try and appeal to everybody. Because it is a mass market event. Right?
I understand
so
that.
So there's a big group of people who were probably extremely excited to see Maroon 5 and watch the shirtless tattooed man glisten across the stage. Right?
I'm sure there's a group of people, but if you're trying to make it a mass market thing, there are artists that could just as easily cast a larger net, it seems like. Because it seems
what
like
makes you think that, though?
Because every other year, it seems like there's more negativity.
Okay, the amount of negativity does not represent the amount. It is
I
generally
that.
Unrelated to the amount of positivity, right?
Okay.
Like, if there's, like, extreme positivity that exists and a small amount of loud negativity, you're going to see the small amount of loud negativity, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And then if the positivity grows and shrinks, you're not going to notice that. You're only going to notice how, like, controversial it was on the negative end.
Sure, and but neither of us have this in front of us, so it's not even really an argument. I'm just saying, like, but there are real analytics out there.
Right, well, I guess the point I'm making is it might be targeting specifically a group of people who don't like the other parts of the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
That's possible. But what I'm saying is that my gut is, and we don't have this in front of us, is that there are real analytics out there. And I would venture to bet, and I have no reason to go on this, obviously, but that these types of shows like Coldplay, Maroon 5, whatever, have more people dipping out of those viewership than when they have, like, Prince or Katy Perry or whoever. Like, there's, like, I would imagine there's a difference in, like, noticeable difference in the actual analytics that they have and have to use.
I would agree with you that them having the most, like, mega, mega, mega pop stars, they do better than whenever they get kind of a middle of the road, like, consistently on the radio pop stars. I don't think anybody in any room is thinking, you know what, they have a picture of Katy Perry and a picture of Adam Levine, and they're like, you know, let's go with Adam. I don't think that's what's happening here.
I don't know. Because
they're not going to get Katy Perry every year, right? Who should they have gotten this year? Who's the big pop star?
But you're missing my point. What I said originally was, they have these, like, cameos of people, not even big people. Like, yes, they do stuff like Beyonce.
But you're saying that like, the random rapper guy that was in this one, he should have headlined that.
Sure.
That's what you're saying. You think that would have had a broader appeal than Maroon 5.
I'm not saying that's a great example, but I'm saying there's been plenty of examples like that
else?
Where there has been someone not huge, but somewhat well known.
Like when?
All of the more recent halftime shows in recent years have always had, like, two or three other
people. They've had other people. You're saying they've had other people other than Coldplay with Beyonce and what's his name? Because obviously
I gave an example earlier with Missy Elliott. She's huge.
Wasn't she there with Lady Gaga? Like, she wasn't bigger than Lady Gaga.
I don't think so. She wasn't with a female pop artist. I know that.
We're looking it up.
Go ahead.
Missy Elliott Super Bowl.
It was with a different genre.
And I just want to be clear. You're right. She was with somebody who wasn't really big. She was with Katy Perry.
Oh, okay. Well, she was with Katy Perry then. But what I'm saying is she could be someone that could do that herself. Or, like even one of, so there's a couple rap artists that they used in this one the other night, but
something tells me that the target audience for the NFL, they have to tread lightly whenever they put a rapping person in there. That's all I'll say about that.
I don't know. I mean, it's
you don't think that is more disenfranchising for their target audience than Maroon 5?
I don't know if it's any more or less than them putting someone like Beyonce or something. If that's the case, I don't know.
Beyonce is a lot more like cross appeal than somebody doing like straight rap.
I don't. Well, yes and no. I agree with that. I don't know. You might be right.
To be clear, I don't really have strong opinions on this. I'm just arguing with you to argue with you.
But that's true. But I am really thinking that, like, it seems like if there's actual concrete analytics for this sort of stuff, which there has to be, and people really are more excited about these cameos and stuff like that of other artists, it's like, why aren't that? Because it seems like the consensus seems to be a lot of times, why wasn't that person why wasn't the headliner and the guest star flip-flopped? And what I'm saying is like they seem to always go for the bland act. Not all the time, but they frequently go with the bland act over the guest star, which is typically what everybody's waiting for. And in this last one, people were really disappointed that they had promised that the full SpongeBob cameo would be there, and they cut it short.
I didn't get that. Was that was the thing?
Yeah. Well, apparently they announced ahead of time they were going to do the whole Sweet Victory thing, and they just had the introduction thing and then cut it. So
really, really disappointing.
That's how things go.
It's a big bummer.
Yeah, I don't really care about cartoon characters being in the Super Bowl. I thought that was weird anyway.
Yeah.
So Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Boring. We agree they should have had whoever that rapper was be the headliner then.
I'm not.
Big Boy. That's who it was.
All right. So two things we got coming up. One of them very, very soon. So we need to get on this. So right before we started recording this, actually, I released and sent out the links on all the social media accounts to our Oscars picks forum. So just like last year, I put out a forum where you can make your picks for who you think is going to win in each category of the Oscars. And during the Oscars, I will aggregate all of those picks, including ours. And hopefully, depending on how timing works, I can sort of live tweet the scores and who's winning and who's losing like I did last year, which I personally thought was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, the goal is next week, we will release another episode that has our picks. So we'll just kind of go through all of them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so once our episode releases, that's whenever we'll cut off the accepting submissions, right? Because then you'll just steal all of our amazing picks and
right.
That would be no fun. So we won't release that. Let's just say that that's going to release on Thursday of next week. So that'll give you a little bit of extra time compared to normal. So, but still, as soon as, you know, if you're listening to me now and you are able, you're not driving or something, you should go to atownfm.com, look at the show notes for this episode, and find the link to the Oscars ballot form. And fill that out right now so you don't forget about it. Because once we cut it off, it's cut off. We haven't talked about what we want to give away as a prize. I think last time we took forever to figure out what we wanted to give away to. And what we ended up doing was giving away a copy of the amazing Clockstoppers feature film,
mm-hmm.
which I think was extremely well received by total happenstance. The person who won actually was really excited about it. this year, we haven't figured out what we want to do.
Yeah.
But I think for sure we can offer giving away the Harry Potter marathon that we did. So we did for the patrons, we did the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child where we went through all the books. So I can bundle those up in whatever form whoever wins wants them in. So I can either send them over as files or I could set up a little fake podcast so you could just pull it into your player if your player supports that. However you want it, I can get it to you. And so we do have a thing we can give away for sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then if any of you guys have ideas, throw them out there. And if we think of something, we will bring it up on the next episode. But by then, it'll be locked. So we are the worst contest holders in the world. But there you go.
Yeah, and if you want to comment on anything that we've talked about in this episode, you can find us on, you know, all Reddit, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media. All those links are on our website at atownfm.com.
All right. just to, now that we're doing this, apparently.
Yeah.
It is helpful for me.
On 1, 3, 2, 1.
You did it again. Gosh.
I did it on 1.
No, you did not.
Yes, I absolutely did.
I swear to you, you didn't.
I mean...
You can stop recording and listen to it right now.
The word 1 left my mouth, but...
No, you said 3, 2, 1. That's what you just did.
Okay. I said I did it at the same time I said 1.
It's in a recording.
Okay.
Oh, man.